The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
We are here. It is weekend number three of college football, and we are finishing up our rivalry series. We'll start it off with North Carolina and North Carolina State. North Carolina State's game two game was versus Mississippi State, and what I saw was very much of the same thing I saw the first week with North Carolina State. They've got good enough talent to be better than they are, but I don't really see it, especially from the offense, to give themselves a chance. Against Mississippi State, they did play more zone covers than they played the first game. But every time they played man, they got lit up. Mississippi State is not a team that you want to play very much man against because, as I've said before, Coach Leach is really good at, as a receiver coach, coaching against man, especially against man press. And so when they played man against them, they had some trouble. Mississippi State ran the ball a little bit more than what they normally have been doing. However, with North Carolina State, it wasn't something that really hurt them when they didn't outnumber them in the box. I think that North Carolina State's defense is good enough for them to be competitive in the ACC all year long. I think they played hard and they played physical. Their problem is the same thing that it was the first week that I evaluated them. Their offense is just really bad. And the players aren't as bad as the offense looks. They've got, you know, some decent guys out there that a lot of times with decent guys, if you just have some type of a gimmick, something that can give you an edge in some form or fashion, something that causes problems for the defense, then you can still manufacture a decent offense to go out and to play. But they still have no RPOs, none to see. They are not going to be a good offense without RPOs because they're just simply not good enough. And again, why do you need run-pass options? Why do you need to call run plays where you can also throw the ball? It's very simple. If you don't have that, you can't take advantage of the defense's gamble. So if a defense outnumbers you in a box, then you're going to have one-on-one coverage somewhere. And sometimes the one-on-one coverage is soft, super soft. Sometimes a corner is 10 yards off and backing up and backpedaling. And all you have to do is take the snap and throw a hitch or throw a slant or throw a quick out. And all of a sudden, you've got a first down. All of a sudden, you've moved the ball down the field. And if you don't do that, defensive coordinators know, and they get brave and braver and braver. And they don't mind trying to outnumber you in the box because they know that you don't have that in your repertoire. When you look at the NFL have the biggest egos of any group in the world. Now, you know, college football coaches have got phenomenal, huge egos. But NFL egos are even bigger. Most of the NFL guys now have figured out that if they're not throwing RPOs, they're probably going to get fired. The only one right now that I know for sure isn't throwing RPOs is Tampa Bay. And that's because Tom Brady's 112 years old and the greatest quarterback to ever play, and he ain't changing shit. because he's got the answers to everything. But like I tell people all the time, you ain't Tom Brady. So therefore, we're not going to coach you as if you were Tom Brady. If you're trying to do nothing but out-scheme people, the guy on the other side is going to be just as smart as you. The RPO allows you to have an opportunity to give your player success when the defense screws up. Even if it's nothing but screens and bubbles and what I call chop screens, where somebody goes in motion behind the quarterback, those are so easy to do. But if you really master the RPO game, then you can always be 7 to 10 to 14 points better every single game because you're going to take advantage of the defensive mistakes that they have. So again, as I've said before, you know, their offense is not talented enough for them not to be good in the RPO game, and they don't, basically, they don't do any. They might throw a screen every now and then. That's it. So in my opinion, they've got problems. North Carolina in game two played Georgia State. Georgia State was hard to tell because the first game of the season they played Army, but they've done a good job. They've had a good team. Coach Elliott there has done a pretty good job. They were a bowl team. But the offense, I thought that the quarterback, you know, they made a decision. They unloaded some bombs on them and they made some big plays against them. The quarterback made a lot of plays buying time, and he made some plays with timely runs. The offensive line, I thought, was still too high, and I thought they were still soft. Running backs were just okay again. Receivers can make some plays. So what does that mean offensively for them to get better? They're going to have to throw the ball. And the good thing is that the quarterback is good enough to win. He's got enough talent that if he is good in the pocket, if he will keep his eyes and go through progression and get to his third and fourth progressions, if the O-line can do nothing but back up and pass block, if they can do that good enough, they're going to be okay because the quarterback has a special arm. He's got quick releases and he can buy a little bit of time. Everybody else, I don't see anything else special. The biggest issue, I think, again, is the offensive line just being high and being a little bit soft. Defensively, I still didn't see any great push up front. I still didn't see any great pass rushers that popped off the screen. I just saw just a bunch of guys. And so what does that mean for the rivalry prediction after 2 weeks? The way I got it, North Carolina would beat North Carolina State 35-12 for one reason. They got a hell of a lot better coaching scheme than what North Carolina State has got. And that's why they would win the game. Quarterback, obviously, is a special player that's got a special skill set. But in my opinion, that's where that they would have the dynamic advantage over North Carolina State. The other game, the Army-Navy game going into the season. So Army looked really good in their opening game against Georgia State. They played Western Kentucky. And this was a really unique game. Army came out, and on offense, man, they looked like $1 million. They just opened up that can of whoop-ass just like they did the week before. Their offensive line was low. They were physical. They were violent. The fullback is one bad dude. He will rip your nose off running the football. The quarterback, even though they had to play another quarterback, they've got about four of them that can play. He did a good job running the ball, making some plays as well. Receivers made plays when they had opportunities to make plays. But the biggest thing that was different in this game was that Army came out of this ball game, and Army ended up in this game. What they ended up doing was they did some unique and for them, some creative phases. They got into the shotgun some, which they didn't do much at all the first week, if any at all. And they ran some creative things out of it. They had a little bit more in the passing game. They ran the option out of the shotgun, and they ran a reverse and had a timely reverse. They had a couple of really good naked boots where they had guys wide open. One time the quarterback ran it for 40, 50 yards or 30 yards. Another time they threw it for a big play. And so the creativity was good. And here's the thing about creativity. Creativity can be a lot better when you're damn good running the football. And because they're so good at running the football, they could be a little bit more creative. And I really liked what they did. I really love their offense. I wish I could coach that and get your kids to buy in. It's a hard offense to sell. People always say, You know, why don't other schools out in the country, why don't people like Kansas go do this? The reason is that kids that want to go play in the NFL don't want to play in that offense. And so you're not going to be able to recruit. At Army, it's different. They're recruiting guys not to play football. They're recruiting guys to serve their country. So they're already not selfish. They're already going to spend 9 years at least of their life serving the United States of America, 4 years in college and 5 years out, minimal. So it's a unique brand, and the option is suited perfectly for it, and they do an incredible job on that. The biggest problem was with their defense, and Army has got a great defense. They got great personnel. They got great scheme and coaching, but let me tell you something. I'll talk about Western Kentucky more in a minute because we've got the 100-mile war, rather, with Middle Tennessee. But what Western was able to do is go up and down the field throwing the football, being in the gun. But you have to remember this. Does that show a big sign, a big warning sign for everybody else that they play? And the answer is yes, if they have a quarterback like Western. And there's not very many people that have a quarterback as good as Bailey Zapp or Zappy. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but the quarterback for Western Kentucky is incredibly special. So I don't think Army's got a whole lot of alarms to go off. They blew one big coverage that really I was kind of stunned. They had a 3rd-and-7 or 8 situation. They played a 2-deep safety versus empty. If you're playing 2-deep versus empty, you've got a problem to start with. And they tried to play Tampa 2 out of it, meaning the Mike linebacker was going to have to run. And Army had a guy in the middle that there's no way the Mike linebacker couldn't have run with him in 100 years. So they ran their number 3 receiver, Army did out of the empty set right down the middle. They tried to run their Mike linebacker with him. And I have to believe that they just blew the coverage because there's no way in the world they would have schemed that up. But Army took an easy touchdown from that. And a lot of the rest of the stuff for the rest of the day was simply the quarterback making plays, throwing to a bunch of good receivers, the quarterback buying some time. And little by little, even though they were behind 3 touchdowns going into the 4th quarter, Western found a way to get back in it. So would you be alarmed if you're an Army fan right now? Maybe a little bit, but not super much. Because again, I think Western's going to be able to throw the ball on anybody that they play against. So Army hung on and won that game. Navy, for what Navy has got coming, when they get ready to play Army at the end of the year, man, they got problems. So they went through a fiasco, which I hated to see because the athletic director fired the offensive coordinator, evidently without the head coach's knowledge. That's always just really stupid. Shows a lack of communication. Hard to believe at the Naval Academy that could happen if that is truly the real story as to how it happened. They fired him. Then they brought him back, but took away his responsibility as a coordinator. It was just a joke. It looked like something that, you know, some of the other idiot programs in the world would do, but not something you would expect from the Naval Academy. But with all that being said, how did Navy look the second week? Just as bad as they did the first week. Offensive line is still not very good. They play too high. They're not super physical. The fullback, I thought, ran the ball a little bit harder. Their scheme was all over the place. And they're just not a very good football team right now. So in the Army-Navy rivalry, if you're a midshipman right now, you got problems. Army will win that game 35-3 if they played it this week of the season. The good thing if you're a Navy cadet, former Navy guy, Navy fan, is that they don't play it this season. Our final game of the day, the 100 yards of hate, or 100 miles of hate, rather, Western Kentucky University in Middle Tennessee. I'll start with Western. Bailey Zapp, if you don't know that name, you better learn it. I better learn his last name, make sure I'm pronouncing it right. But the quarterback for Western Kentucky now, after seeing him 2 weeks in a row, he is special. He is big-time special. He is NFL special. Why? He's got a big arm, incredibly quick release, physical, tough guy, can buy time in the pocket, can scramble to make a first down, got great vision, he ain't afraid. Throw an interception, he believes he can throw it anywhere. If he throws a pick, he learns from it, he'll get better. If you don't get pressure on him, you're in trouble. If you pressure him and you don't play the screen game, especially the jailbreak screen stuff, the tunnel screen stuff, they'll score on you in a heartbeat with that stuff. They've got receivers that can win one-on-one matchups. He can throw a back shoulder throw from 30 yards across the field. There's not very many guys in the world that can do that on a go route, whether they're in the NFL or in college. He's a really good player. The receivers are really good players. The offensive line, I still think, is just average. The run game is not very good. And that's what gives people a chance against them, because I don't care how good a quarterback you are, there's going to come a time where you have an off day. Either you're off, or the receivers drop a bunch of balls, or a couple of balls get tipped, or you make a couple of mistakes, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble. If you can't run the ball, it's going to be very difficult unless the defense is just absolutely phenomenal. But the offensive line does pass pro pretty good. The run game blocking, I thought, again, they were high and soft. Running back was not a factor at all. All the receivers, they got a bunch of good receivers that are special. They got one that's special that can make some plays. Defensively, again, it's always difficult to judge any defense that plays Army because you only see it once a year. They're going to come off low, hard, fast. They're going to cut your knees more than anybody in football does. But what you can find out when your team plays them is how well do you compete for four quarters. And I've seen defenses completely quit by the fourth quarter. And I've seen defenses that, like Western did, Western tended to get better as the game went on. And so that, to me, showed that they got a little bit of something-something about them. They took some ass whippings early on, but they made some plays in the fourth quarter to keep them in the game. So I thought Western made some improvement as far as how hard they played, how physical they were. And as it turns out, that first game against UT Martin might have been better than what I gave them credit for. I got to see UT Martin again because they played Samford, and UT Martin showed a lot more flash in that game, especially defensively. It looks like that UT Martin might have a special pass rush guy and some other guys on defense and can give some people some problems. So it may end up being that Western might be a little better than I thought. Middle Tennessee's game against Virginia Tech. They'll start with Middle Tennessee's offense. As I said, the first week, the quarterback transfer from North Carolina State, a good football player, dad, successful high school coach, has played at Florida State and North Carolina State, didn't play at Florida State much. North Carolina State played, started 7 or 8 games. He's a good player. He's got a good arm, but he hasn't played well. Sometimes good players don't play great, and he hasn't played great as of yet. The biggest thing is that Middle can't run the ball with their running backs only. So if you can't run the ball with your running backs only, that means the quarterback has to be involved in the run game. I know, because I was at Middle. We had the same issue when I was there. Our quarterback was a great runner. They don't have a great runner at quarterback now, not the starter. The other two kids can run the ball. One of them can run it a little bit. The other one can run it a little bit more, but they both can run better than what the starter can run. So if they can't get where they can establish a run game without the quarterback, then they're going to have to make some adjustments as to how they go about it. And again, they got a good coordinator. He knows what he's doing. He'll figure it out. The hardest thing when you first come in and you take over a program like he did, it's figuring out you don't really know what you got. You think you know, but you don't know until you play some games. So they played a really good Virginia Tech defense. I think they played a good Monmouth defense. I think Monmouth's defense is really good. So they played two good defenses. So you can't just lose your shit and go, we suck, what we're doing doesn't work, it's not good enough, and just shit can everything, because you don't really know yet. You can see some stuff. I thought that Middle's offensive line, I thought they pass pro'd really good for most of the game. I thought especially the first half and into halfway through the third quarter, their pass pro was pretty good. The quarterback had enough time most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. Sometimes it was off of play action that he got in trouble. The run game blocking was just okay. They didn't get much movement, And when you get a back in one-on-one in space, the back has got to make a play, and they just didn't make any plays when they the few times that they were in one-on-one in space. They just didn't make any plays. They had a pass out of the backfield that they got some yards on, but outside of that, there wasn't much. The Wildcat deal with the big back for middle has looked good both weeks that they've done it. Maybe you'll see a little bit more of that as they go into it. But the big thing in the offensive thing is, again, the strength of this offense is their receivers. That's the strength of this offense. They've got a bunch of good receivers. They got 7 or 8 good players playing that position. And their best one, one of their best ones, if not their best one, hasn't played the first two games. And so whether or not he's playing this week or not, I don't know. But Yusuf Ali is the best player on offense, and he hasn't played yet. So if he comes back, that will help them because he's a physical blocker and a really good football player. But like I said, he hasn't played yet for whatever reason that has been. So offensively, they got to get some of that stuff cleaned up. And, you know, they play a really good team this week in Texas San Antonio. So that's going to give you, that's going to tell you more. You don't ever know if you're good or not until you get into your own conference. All this other shit is all bullshit. So when you play a team that's in a bigger conference, you might win every now and then. I know, you know, when I was at Middle, we beat Missouri and we beat Syracuse. And so, you know, that makes you feel good, but you don't know, is Missouri any good? You don't know if Syracuse is any good. You don't know how they would compete in your league. But when you start playing your league games, then you know. I always kept the statistics of how you do in your league, whether I was at Troy, whether I was at Cal, Louisiana Tech. How does your offense do in your league statistics? The rest of that shit don't matter. You go score 60 against a 1AA team, that don't mean shit. You score 60 against a good team in your conference or any team in your conference, that's a big deal. So how will they do now that they're playing people that are just like them? The same type of competition level, just like they are. So Middle fans will know a lot more after this week, and so will the Middle coaches about the offense, about whether or not that they're good enough or not to be there. Defensively, I thought that they had a really good plan. Virginia Tech is not a great offense by any means. And they struggled against North Carolina as well. But I thought that Middle had a good plan. They outnumbered them in the box. Virginia Tech doesn't want to throw the ball much. The biggest thing you had to worry about with Virginia Tech was the quarterback scrambling, and he hurt them on scrambles, just like you kind of knew that. You knew that that was probably going to happen going into the game. But I think the biggest thing in this game, it's 14-7, and they are or 7-7, or maybe it was 7-7-0, something like that. And Middle's holding them to a field goal. And Middle gets a cheap shot on the quarterback on a third down, gives them an extra set of downs. Virginia Tech goes in and score. So instead of 10 points, they've got 14 points. Huge momentum turnaround. They got to get that shit cleaned up. It's always a problem. They got to get it cleaned up. So defensively, they played really hard the first half. The defensive line made some plays, showed some flash. They held their own against a good offensive line. Virginia Tech has got a good offensive line, and Middle Tennessee's defensive line did a good job. The scheme had a couple of misfits, and the quarterback scramble hurt, and they had a huge blown coverage. I'm guessing it was on a safety because they rolled a safety, and the other safety didn't even get close, and they gave up a big pass play right down the middle. And there's no way that that was schemed, so it had to be some mistake that they made in the coverage deal. I thought the press corners played well. Anytime you can press and you don't give up big plays in the press game, then you've done a good job. Overall, I think that if you're a Middle Tennessee fan, don't be dissatisfied by that loss. That game could have been a lot closer. It could have been a game that if the offense makes a few plays, they got a chance to win that game at the end. And Virginia Tech is a pretty good football team. So now that Middle now plays Texas San Antonio, you will actually now get to start to see, is this a team that has a chance? Can they get better? Can they compete? Can they win the East as I predicted them to do before the season start? So now, after 2 weeks, after 1 week, I picked Middle. Did I change after watching Western again? I didn't. I just made the game a little bit closer. I still believe that Middle will beat Western in the rivalry game. I believe it'll be a 28-27 game. I still believe that Middle's defense, Coach Schaefer, does a really good job against four wide empty teams. Even though it's a great quarterback, he'll have a good plan. He'll hit the guy a bunch. And Western will make some plays, but Middle will finally, by the time they get there, they'll have all their kinks worked out. And I believe that Middle will win that game. So that's all we got, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.